In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we're continuing on volume 35, 12:8-19:28. And Jesus says, these are the greatest honors that can be given. And that is that the human will never had life in Our Lady, but always, always the divine will. So this is the greatest honor that was given to humanity. And it's Our Lady never having life in her human will, but always, always the divine will. So this is why we honor Our Lady. She is the first. She is Theotokos. She's the mother of God. She, out of all humanity, she never, ever, ever gave life to her human will. She was never worried, fearful, anxious, complaining, negative, never sinning. And this is the life that we have been living. Worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, and sin. And Jesus wants us to be free of that. That's why the final devotion that he gave to the church, which he says to St. Faustina, the final devotion is, Jesus, I trust in you. Why? Trust in Jesus is that's our hope. Our hope is certitude. There's no need for worry, because worry says to Jesus, you're not a good God. I have to worry about this. Fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity. It says to Jesus, you're not very good. This is the condition I'm in, because I don't trust in you. And Jesus wants us to trust in him completely. And so he says to us very, very clearly, the greatest honors that can be given, and that is the human will never having life in our Blessed Mother, and always, always she lived in the divine will. This was the whole secret of Our Lady's sanctity. This is the secret of her height. This is the secret of her power. This is the secret of her beauty. This is the secret of her greatness and so on. It was my fiat, Jesus says, with its heat extinguished the stain of original sin and conceived Our Lady immaculate and pure. So this life that Our Lady of America talks about, that the children of America will give to the world, this purity is the pure life of Jesus, the pure life of Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve. This is the divine will that's going to be given to all the world. This great gift of the divine will is close. It's very, very close. So Jesus says this, my church, instead of honoring my divine will, the primary cause and prime act, honors the effects of the divine will and proclaimed Our Lady immaculate, conceived without sin. It can be said, Jesus says, that the church gave Our Lady human honors, not divine honors, that she, Mary, justly deserves because a divine will had continuous life in the Blessed Mother. That's why the feast of the divine will is the feast of the Assumption of the Blessed Mary. The feast of the Blessed Virgin Mary, her Assumption, the church says on that day, where Our Lady has gone, we hope to go as well. This is why the celebration of the divine will is the main celebration is on the feast of the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary. That's why we meet every year. So far for the last 3 years in Rome City, Indiana, we've met every year on the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary, because this is our feast as well. We celebrate Our Lady body and soul into heaven. And Jesus says to Louisa, this is our hope, Christian hope, certitude. We also will enter body and soul into heaven. You know, when you think of heaven, oh, heaven, I'd like to be in heaven, but heaven's not complete. St. Thomas Aquinas says you need a body and a soul as a human. Well, there's only two bodies and souls in heaven at this point, Jesus and Mary. What Jesus is planning is this reuniting of body and soul with a glorified body. What is the glorified body? It's the body that Adam had before the fall, but not fully, because he didn't have Jesus and Mary as his Adam and his Eve. So more than what God gave to Adam is what God's going to give to us. That's why what's coming, the illumination of conscience, is basically understanding the divine will and living in the divine will. This is, as Jesus said, this is the ultimate gift given to humanity. So Jesus is saying to us that one day soon, see, this is great. The church will give divine honors to my mother as she rightly deserves. We haven't seen anything yet. A new beginning is coming for all humanity. And God has asked us to be alive at this time, to live at this time, to witness what he is going to do. Don't be afraid of what's happening out there. The kingdom is coming. And it looks like disorder, but in reality, God's getting everything in order. So what has he done? He's given us the book of heaven. He's shown us this true life of Jesus and Mary found in Louisa, the newborn, the firstborn, and he's offering this to us. What a glorious time to be alive. Volume 25, 12, 14, 19, 28. My daughter, within us triune God, in our divinity, one single act is enough to do everything. Listen to this. That act is will, thought, word, step, work. And so a single act of God's is a voice that speaks, is a hand that operates. It is a foot that walks. It is enveloping everything. And if the creature thinks, works, speaks, or walks, it is the virtue of our single act that echoing in each act of the soul communicates the good of the thought, the good of the word, and the good of all the rest. See, this is why we want to free ourselves from worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, and sin. It's not good. We want to enter into that goodness of God, that holiness of God, that share in divinity of God. This is why we want to perfect our human imperfections. How do we do this? Well, it's a lot of work. Say, for example, if swearing is part of your vocabulary, is to discipline ourselves to say that we want every word to be beautiful, every word to give honor to God, no dishonor to him. It's every thought to give honor to God, every deed to give honor to God, thought, word, and deed, our intellect, memory, and will. See, Jesus is helping us really confront our human inadequacies, our sinfulness, and to say, no, I want now to live the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary. And again, it's tough because we are conditioned because of our fallen nature to sin. It's part of who we are. That's why when we as Catholics go to confession, make that part of our Catholic life, what God does is he frees us from worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, and sin. He leads us away from failure to honor and glory. This is what God is doing. This is why it's so essential that we begin to live this abundant life. Jesus says, therefore, it can be said that we, triune God, are the bearers of all creatures, of all their acts. So God is now saying he wants us to participate in him. Oh, how offended we, triune God, feel when our act bears a voice, a thought, a word, a step. But not only is it not done for us, glorifying us, loving us, but offending us. So we're learning that every thought, every word, every deed, you know, to be free of the brokenness and enter into this healing, divine healing, as Jesus tells Louisa. Creatures use our very acts to form the weapons with which to wound us. Human ingratitude, how great you are. Human ingratitude, that's the worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, and sin. We should be, again, if you ever see that video on water, how when you say love and gratitude, the water changes into purity. It remembers, it echoes, if you want to say, our words, our thoughts. So again, the more that we are positive, the more the world is changing. The more that we are in love with God, the more the world is changing. The more we read and put this gift of the divine will into practice, the happier everyone else becomes. Why? The kingdom is coming. And Jesus wants us to prepare the way for all of humanity to say yes to God. Now, we have a free will. Some people will say no. But what Jesus is saying is, I don't want to lose anybody. Would you work with me to bring everyone into the kingdom? And when we say yes, God goes, good. He says, now you got to work harder for some people. You got to pray harder for most people. Why? Most at this point do not want God. They're offending God. And Jesus says this, weapons which wound us, human ingratitude, how great you are. Now, the soul who does our divine will and lives in the divine will, hopefully that's us, unites herself to that single act of God, and forming one single act of the will with ours, the soul flows together with our act and together with us triune God. The soul makes herself thought, voice, work, and step of all of humanity. It's repairing. It's redoing everyone and everything. This is so beautiful. And oh, of how we triune God enjoy because of our virtue, investing the human littleness, making her the bearer of all. This is a reflection of Our Lady, bearer of the all, God. The acts of the creatures together, one with us. And their soul uses all of our acts not to form weapons against God, to wound God, but to form weapons with which to defend the triune God, to love the triune God, and to glorify the triune God. So we call her our warrior who defends our rights. That's the title of Luisa, our warrior. This is why I keep on bringing up St. Joan of Arc. What does she say? She says, I'm not afraid. She says, the last one is, I was going to write this down, not afraid, not to be, what did she say? She said,
I am with God.
Pardon?
I am with God.
I'm with God. To tell you the honest truth, my mind's blank. Not to be afraid. The last one is the second one is I was born for this time. And then lastly, God is with me. Okay. These three things are essential for today. I'm not afraid of what's happening. Everybody else is pulling out their hair screaming, oh, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? No, I'm not afraid. God is with me. I'm not afraid. I was born for this time. I'm not afraid. I was born for this time. God is with me. It's a new beginning. It's a life that we have to understand. God allowed us, predestined us to live at this time. We have to become a warrior for God. And it's not a blood. It's not of blood. Jesus says this war is not a war of blood. It's a war of love. The humanity is going to witness the love of Jesus and Mary consuming the world in love. It's not anything to be afraid of. If you're away from God, this is going to be wailing and grinding of teeth. But if you're with God, it's peace, joy, and happiness. And we want our family, our friends, our neighbors, our coworkers, our parishioners, we want them to participate in this. We want them to enjoy this gift. So Jesus says this in 1925, 1928. Therefore, by withdrawing from our divine fiat, Adam became deformed. Adam became disordered and no longer felt this divine strength, the divine unity, the inseparability. whether in his creator or with all human generations. We were one with God, one with humanity. He felt like a divided body, broken in his members, that no longer possessed all the strength of his body as wholeness. Therefore, my divine will wants to enter again as prime act into humanity, to reunite the broken members, to give back to Adam and his children the unity and the inseparability as Adam came out of our creative hands, to go back to the beginning, to go back to our origin, full circle back to God. Adam left. Jesus and Mary come to redeem us. Our Lady co-redeemed with Christ. Why? To bring us to sanctification. Why? To go back to live one with God, fused with God in his holy divine will. This is the reason for the book of heaven. And Jesus offers this to every soul who wants it. He said to Louisa, the divine will is for everyone. And then he said in sadness, but in reality, it's for only those who want it. How sad is that? How sad is that? When you read the three appeals, Jesus as God humbles himself. He begs us, please return to me. I know how you live and I'm tired of the way you're living. You're tired of the way you're living. Come back to me and let me bring this divine fullness back to you. This oneness with God back to humanity. That's where we are. The last 2000 years was to learn how to do the will of God. Now Jesus says, I want you to live in the will of God. This is why he says, this is why my divine will wants to re-enter again to the prime act of humanity, to reunite the broken members, that's us, to give back to us the unity and inseparability as Adam came out of God's creative hands, image and likeness. That's what he breathed into Louisa. So he says in Volume 25, 2, 3, 19, 29, you must know that the angels, the saints, the sovereign queen are all one piece, one, because their beings are nothing other than one single act of the divine will. We participate. We're that drop of water entering into the chalice filled with wine. We become one with God. Therefore, nothing but divine will appears in each of them. The angels, the saints, Our Lady. The thought, the gaze, the word, the work, the step, nothing appears but fiat, fiat, fiat. This fiat is we have to learn. This yes to God is what we have to learn. No worry, no fear, no anxiety, nothing but fiat. This constitutes all the fullness and happiness of all the saints in heaven. And now it's going to constitute the happiness of all the people on earth. Now, the one who does and lives in my divine will on earth is similar to the inhabitants of heaven. No worry, no fear, no anxiety, no complaints, no negativity, no sin. That's what's coming. That is, the soul is all one piece and forms one single piece with them in such a way that if the pilgrim soul thinks, the saints think together with that soul. If the soul loves, if the soul operates, the saints love and operate with that soul. Heaven on earth. There is such a tight bonds between her and heaven that all together form one single act of my divine will. So much so that all the celestial inhabitants are on the lookout to see what creature on earth does so that nothing may escape them. Everything's being repaired. Everything's being redone in the divine will. Jesus says he's going to take us and this redemption that he gave to humanity now is now that we've lived in the kingdom of redemption. He says now is the time for the kingdom of sanctification to come upon earth. This is a glorious time to be alive. Volume 25, 2:17, 19:29. Such is the inseparability of the soul who lives in my divine will. The soul is inseparable from me, God, and from all the acts of my divine fiat. The soul enters into the life of the light and the heat of my divine volition and acquires the life of its light and of its heat. We enter into the sun and participate in it. And since its incessant acts can be called the multiplicity and infinity of its acts, the colors that my divine will produces. Okay, so now we're looking at the colors of heaven. The soul forms one single act with it. So you must know that the inseparability of the soul who lives in my divine will is such and so great that when the eternal wisdom created the heavens, when God created the sun and the whole universe, you, Louisa, and each one of us in the divine will, we're linked with me, Jesus says. We're flowing in my divine fiat like light, heat, and colors. We were with God from the beginning. This is what God wants us to know. He says, now I want you to be with me eternally. I want you to begin to understand that when you were with me in the beginning, this is what he says. He says, this light, the heat, the colors of creation were found in you. Why? He says, I would have been so very weary of doing even a single act of my divine will without my little daughter, the divine will, or the souls who live in it with Louisa. It would have been as if I were lacking the strength of divine light, of divine heat, and of divine colors. So Jesus is saying to us, when you go back to your beginning, you're going to understand why God created us. Because of Adam and Eve eating the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, we've been confused. We don't know what's good. We don't know what's evil. We have the Holy Church to teach us with our dogma and doctrine. We have Jesus teaching us with sacred scripture. But what's coming now is now Jesus is teaching us through the book of heaven given to Louisa, how to begin to live this life from the beginning, going back to our beginning. Daughter, he says, you must know that in my divine will, there is the permissive act and the wanted act. In the fall of Adam, there was the permissive act, but not the wanted by the divine will. So it's the same thing with our lives. God has plans for us. And when we do our human will, we don't follow the plans of Christ. Okay? We enter into the permissive act of God, act in God. But it's not wanted by God. In the permissive act, the light, the heat, the multiplicity of the colors of my divine will place themselves aside and remain untouchable without meddling in the human act. On the other hand, in the wanting act, they form one single act and one single thing. So Jesus is saying, we're going to go back to the wanted act of God by living in the divine will. What does that mean? Heaven on earth, peace, joy, and happiness on earth as it is in heaven. So Jesus is saying this permissive act where we've been since the fall of Adam is going to be gone. It's going to be the wanted act of God. Okay, that means we enter into the peace, the joy, the happiness of God. That's where we belong. Jesus is saying, get ready for this. It's coming. He's saying, I'm letting you know what I'm going to do because I want to see you excited about what I am going to bring upon the earth, the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. Line 25, 3, 8, 19, 29. My daughter, with one single act, my fiat produces many effects, sustaining the whole of creation. Its acts is the life that it gives in order to form each created thing. The effects are the nourishments that it administers like many different foods to each thing to maintain them beautiful and fresh, just as I created them, just as the divine will created them. So my divine will is the sustainer. This is what's coming back to us. My divine will is the sustainer, the nourisher, the vivifier of all of creation. We haven't seen anything yet, Jesus keeps on telling Louisa. It's a new and abundant life is coming. A new and divine way of holiness is coming. And he says, I want you to get ready for what I'm going to do. When you realize this, worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, and sin start going away from you. Because it's not my life. My life is peace, joy, and happiness. So my divine will is the sustainer. My divine will is the nourisher. My divine will is the vivifier of all creation. Now, Louisa, the one who lives in my divine will, and we link with Louisa, we also want to live there. Together with the divine will, sustains, nourishes, and vivifies all created things. Louisa is the inseparable one of my fiat. Louisa, this is one of her titles. Louisa, the inseparable one of the fiat of God. What a title. And Jesus says, when you're with Louisa, once we prove, he says, and you begin to live this life, you also will be one with Jesus and Mary, one with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one with Louisa. Psalm 25, 3, 22, 19, 29. My daughter, in creation, it was my divine will that had its field of action. Although our divinity was concurrent, because we, triune God, are inseparable from the divine will. However, the prime act, the action, was all of our divine will. See, that's what God wants us to enter into. It's like that drop of water into the chalice. The drop of water enters into the chalice filled with wine and becomes wine. That's what he's saying to us. He says the prime act, the action, was all of our divine will. And he says, come into my divine will. Participate in this one with God. It spoke and it operated. It spoke and it ordered. We were such spectators. This is Jesus saying this, of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, of what our supreme volition was doing with such great mastery, order, and harmony that we, triune God, felt worthily glorified and made twice as happy by our very divine will. By breathing into us this gift of the divine will, Jesus says he was twice as happy because now he had children that resembled him. That was Adam. And he had planned all his children would be in his image and likeness. Therefore, since creation is its work, the whole strength of creation and all the goods with which it was enriched are all in my supreme will. Everything that's happening is planned by God. And God is doing this. That's what St. Louis de Montfort says. It's nothing that we're going to do. It's what God is going to do for us. It is the primary life of everything. And this is why it loves creation so much. Because it, listen to this, because it feels its very life in all created things. And see, that's why we accept and embrace all of creation. Its very life flows in them. So we breathe in this divine I love you in creation, and then we breathe back God's I love you. We breathe this divine will in us, and what do we give back to God but his, not human will, not human love? So much so that in creating Adam, wanting to make a greater display of its power, of its love, of its mastery, it wanted to enclose in Adam all the art of the whole of creation. That's the rounds of creation that our God wants us to learn how to pray. That's the way Jesus prayed. That's the way Mary prayed. That's what they taught Louisa. God is asking us, do you want to enter into the way I prayed for 30 years before my ministry? Do you want to pray the way Mary prayed before Jesus was crucified, died, and was buried and rose again on the third day? Do you want to learn how to pray this way? It prepared the way for the kingdom of redemption, and it's going to prepare the way for the kingdom of sanctification. We don't know anything about this yet, but we're going to. Psalm 26, 4, 12, 19, 29. I was all abandoned in the divine fiat. Its light eclipsed my littleness, transported me up there to heaven, even into the womb of the eternal one. We want to return to the womb of the eternal one. That's one of the things that Jesus is showing us. It is nothing but light, nothing but sanctity, nothing but beauty can be seen. And that infused in me the profound adoration, such that I felt my littleness changed into one single act of adoration that God, who so much loved me, loves me. See, we enter into the divine I love you. This is what we're all going to experience when the Sacred Heart of Jesus, the Immaculate Heart of Mary, this fire of love of Jesus and Mary is going to consume the world in the divine will, consume the world in love. That's what's coming. And Jesus is asking us, Would you help me prepare the world for what's coming? And when we say yes, he goes, okay, good. You got to begin to live this then. If you don't live it, you can't give it to anybody. So as we live this life of Jesus and Mary, filled with peace, joy, and happiness, our families become happy, joyful, peaceful. No more fights, no more anger. It's to begin to live the life of the Holy Family. This is what Jesus is asking. Then, while my mind was wandering in the light of the divine volition, my lovable Jesus moved in my interior and told me, my daughter, the sanctity of our divine being, the one power of our divine will with which we are invested in such a way that even though we are distinct as persons, yet our will that operates in us, that dominates and rules, is always one. So our Lord is saying, he's asking us, would you be willing to enter, be that drop of nothing, enter into that chalice filled with wine, begin to live this abundant life of peace, joy, and happiness. And when we say yes, God says, good, this is why I created you. Never to be separated from me, never to be alone, separated from me, but always one with me, fused with me in the Holy Divine Will, like my mother. This is what Jesus is saying. 5:26, 4:21, 19:29. My daughter, the divine will is all fullness. There is nothing that the divine will does not possess. It's everything. I remember John Paul II said this once in one of his talks. He says, the divine will is everything. I go, my goodness, he understands this. And I was saying, he's the Pope. He's the one that's going to be linked with Louisa to bring this kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. It was amazing. But God has other plans. He loves to keep things hidden and secret. He loves it. He surprises his children. My daughter, the divine will is all fullness. There is nothing that the divine will does not possess. Immensity of divine light, unreachable divine sanctity, endlessness without boundaries, incessant generation. It sees everything. It fields and molds everything. All this is the nature of my divine fiat. Therefore, its acts possess the fullness of all goods. So in order to be able to enclose even a single act in the depth of the soul, it is necessary that the soul empties herself of all of herself. Okay. Again, the divine will is to live in your nothingness. Father Bucci would always say that. He says, to live in the divine will, you have to be little, insignificant, and hidden. It's not about you. It's not about making a saint, Jesus says to Louisa. It's about saving the human generations. Jesus says, this is the greatest gift that I could give to humanity. There's nothing more beautiful than bringing all human generations back to God. Why? This is the life of Jesus. This is the life of Mary. And he's offering it to us. This is what he gave to Louisa. This is what he says. All this is the nature of my divine fiat. Therefore, its acts possess the fullness of all goods. So in order to be able to enclose even a single act in the depth of the soul, it is necessary. It's a duty of us that she empty herself, all of herself. Nothing about us anymore. That's why you have to get rid of the word I, me, and mine. When we're on the phone, it can't be about us. We have emptied ourselves out. If you bring up the word I, me, and mine, well, I did this and I thought that and I remember this and I remember that and I remember and I. No, listen to what Jesus says. Listen to what Jesus says. It is necessary that the soul empty herself of all of herself. No more I, me, and mine. Try to talk without saying I, me, and mine. Try to write without saying I, me, and mine. Really, discipline yourself. I said this to one woman once, and she couldn't talk because it was all about herself, all about her family, all about her life, all about what she did. Empty yourself, all of yourself. Jesus says, I don't want to see it. I want you to be focused on me. That's why we pray the Holy Rosary. It's to have the memory of Jesus and Mary. What did Jesus do? What did Jesus say? Return to the void of her nothingness, as in the act in which she was created. We were created out of nothing. So that my divine will may find the space of the nothingness to be able to deposit in act of fullness of its own, that is such that possessing the incessant generative virtue, one act calls for another act in God. In a way that nothing must be lacking, neither the fullness of light, the fullness of sanctity, the fullness of love, the fullness of beauty, nor the multiplicity of the divine acts. So Jesus is saying to us, I mean, it's really clear as we, one of the first things we learn, I am nothing, God is everything. It's not that we go around, oh, I'm nobody, I'm terrible. It's how great God is, how magnificent God is, how holy God is. He is everything. He's our life. He's our light. He's our everything. We want to make sure that people know him, not us. We're nobodies. We're nothings. Read the document on nothingness. Memorize the doctrine of nothingness. This is what Jesus says. He says, you have to live in the void of your nothingness. Why? Everything is of God. So when it's raining, fiat. When it's snowing, fiat. When it's sunny, fiat. When it's light, fiat. When it's darkness, fiat. Everything is yes to God. To be peaceful, joyful, and happy in all situations. When you're insulted, when you're ridiculed, when you're mocked, when you're laughed at, when you're scorned, fiat. How dare you? It's ridiculous. It's Jesus went through all of that. Why? Because he knows we're going to go through that. With our family, our friends, our neighbors, our coworkers, our parishioners. He knows that. So he's saying, you've got to begin to live the fiat of Mary. When Mary went to visit Elizabeth, she started wearing the garment of a pregnant woman. Elizabeth's husband was a priest, a high priest. What does that mean? All the priests knew the Blessed Mother. All the priests knew that this woman, Mary, who was betrothed to Joseph, is with child before she lived with Joseph. Everybody knew it. It's a small town. So what happens? She had to live through that mockery. Remember when Jesus was with the apostles and he said, if you read the scriptures, if you believe Moses, you would know who I am. And they said, we know your origins, Jesus. We know you. Well, so you know my origins, Jesus says. No, you have to understand, being mocked, ridiculed is important to live in your nothingness. And what Jesus says is, I bring people to their awakening to what I am calling them to do with being rejected, misunderstood, abandoned, spit upon, laughed at. How many people in your family don't want the divine will? Fiat. Lord, I'm going to do it for them. Good, Jesus says. I did it for all of humanity. They came to the point of crucifying me, Jesus says. So again, this is really, really important. We're to enter into this fullness of light, fullness of sanctity, fullness of love, fullness of beauty, and the multiplicity of divine acts. That's what God is teaching us. Good. Volume 26, 525, 1929. I was continuing in my acts in the divine fiat as then I arrived at Eden. I thought to myself, in this, see, we can go to Eden. Wait till Jesus takes you to Eden. It's great. In this Eden, our first father, Adam, did the very first acts in the divine fiat. And the whole of creation had its beginning within the act of the divine fiat operating in all created things. And so did the first man, Adam. The divine will extended the fullness of its divine sanctity, divine power, divine beauty, divine light in each thing, making itself actor and spectator, enclosing everything in one single act of its divine will. How beautiful was the creation at its beginning. One was the will that operated, and the different acts were nothing other than the effects of the one act of God. My daughter, all generations hung upon the first acts done by Adam in the fullness of my divine will, because being done in the divine will, they were acts full of divine life and could give origin and life to everyone, past, present, and future. The other acts of all creatures, and the other acts of all the creatures. And even though creatures do not live of my divine will, but of their own human will, yet it is always my divine will that gives them life. So God gives this divine will so that we are alive. He says, if he stopped reigning in us, and that we would disappear. He says, but his love is so great that he's waiting for man to return back to him, to live in the divine will. He says, even though the creatures do not live in my divine will, but of their own human will, yet it is always my divine will gives them life. And while it gives them life, they keep it as though suffocated and agonizing in their acts. So we're not giving God the freedom to breathe in our breathing. He doesn't take it from us. He says, he waits for us to say, yes, Jesus, breathe in my breathing. Yes, Jesus, beat in my heart beating. Yes, Jesus, pray in my praying. Jesus, give me this great gift of the divine will that you want to give me. I want it. I want what you want. Jesus is waiting for us to do that. Therefore, all the acts of Adam done in my divine will, there are as prime act of all the acts of creatures. So what Adam did in the beginning is the prime act of all of humanity. And when he went out of the divine will, committing the original sin, all of humanity was in this void, in this human will that he took for humanity, took for all his brothers and sisters, all his children. Jesus took that human will and crucified it. All the worry, all the fear, all the anxiety, all the complaints, all the negativity, all the sin was crucified. Jesus died to that life. And then he rose to life. And he said to Luisa, when he explained the resurrection, I did this so that all of humanity would rise from sin, rise from death, rise back into this life, this light, this love of God. Jesus has done this. He has planned this. Why did Our Lady appear to Bruno in 1947 in Rome, Our Lady of Revelation? Why did she say to Bruno, time has now come to an end? It's the end of this era. The evil one's time is over. You have to understand, this is a glorious time to be alive, an amazing time to be alive. And he's asking us, out of all the human generations, he's asking us in these last days to say yes to him, fiat to him. Lord, let it be done as you wish. Let it be done as you want. That's what the Book of Heaven is all about. It's how to surrender, how to be docile, how to be submissive, how to say to God, I want you in charge. I don't want humanity to be in charge anymore. God goes, good. Watch what I'm going to do. He's got it all planned. This is a glorious time to be alive, an amazing time to be alive. And he's asked that we be alive at this time. We are going to thank God for all eternity for what he has given us. What has he given us? Luisa and the divine will. This is the prodigy of prodigies, Jesus says. It's the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary. This is what they gave to Luisa. And Jesus says, I want my children now to have what I breathed into Luisa. I want them to possess this abundant life of Jesus and Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve. Glorious things are right around the corner. Amazing things are happening. We'll be back in 15 minutes in the name of the Father and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.